Welcome to a new episode of The Brand Called You. Today, it is indeed my honor to have a very, very well-recognized photographer, Akash Das. Akash, welcome to the show.
Thank you, and I'm glad I'm here today.
Thank you. So, Akash is a much-recognized and rewarded photographer. He has done several solo exhibitions around the world, and he is considered to be the most prolific and commercially successful photographer in India. Akash, you spent 4 years in the Himalayas and in the Ramakrishna Mission. You stayed in caves, jungles, and ashrams. You left home without any money and just with a loincloth and a dhoti. Talk to us about your early life and what got you interested in photography.
Actually, I don't know. From my childhood, I've been doing a lot of yoga. Like, I used to do Hatha Yoga. Mm-hmm. Hatha Yoga you're not supposed to do without a guru. But I didn't know any of that. Maybe my prarabdha or my previous life, which came naturally to me. And I used to do it so much, I used to hurt my, you can see my varicose veins and everything. I could do 3,000 sit-ups in a day. So, which is not possible now. But that time, because you are very young and you don't know exactly, something is coming from within, so that makes you do all this. So then I started reading Swami Vivekananda. And I got involved in that. Then, I heard that a lot of ascetics are still there in Himalayas. And then they meditate and they do sadhana and then they reach the highest goal. Whatever that is, whatever that means to you, to each his own.
Correct.
So, I got interested in that. I said, let me, try this. So, everybody told me, people who used to guide me, my parents, and so you just finish your graduation first, then do anything you want to do. So I finished my graduation from Delhi College of Arts. That was 5 years course, mm-hmm. And I was happy I did that because that put me a lot of things into focus. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about training in art, but training in life.
Correct.
That you have to be focused. You have to, do one thing repeatedly and need to master it. So that taught me, in life. So I did 5 years course. Then before I could finish my college, I got some offers from various places, two, three places. My professors were actually, finding out job because once you go out, you have to do, work 5 years, and art is very expensive affair. You have to buy colors, imported colors, papers, and things like that. Mm. So the more you work, the better you become. Mm. And I used to, work very, very hard on those. So I had to earn. So I joined.
Which medium did you normally work with as an artist?
Well, pencil, charcoal is the main thing, yeah. Because that is where you put your idea.
Okay.
And then whether I used watercolor, I used oil, everything, all the mediums basically. But charcoal drawing was my main forte basically. So from there, I got a job. I attended the job for 2 days and I realized this is not for me.
Okay.
Somebody's binding me, although they are giving me freedom to draw and things like that. But then I said, this is not it, I'm not meant for it. So I talked to my father. He said, look, it's your life. We wouldn't like you to do any of that thing. But if you want to, that gives you solace. It's your life. You have to take it. Make a choice. So I decided to join first step is Ramakrishna Mission.
Okay.
Because I came in touch with Swami Ranganathananda, then Swami Buddhananda, all those people actually. So they inspired me quite a bit because the kind of oratory they had, the kind of self-constraint they had, living simple life and thinking high, So I joined them. In fact, they suggested.
Okay.
So if you want to do anything, initially I thought I'll go to Himalaya astray. Mm-hmm. So I joined them. So they thought they'll convert me and I'll not go astray and go to Himalayas, mm-hmm. I listened to them. I joined and I realized because there are hierarchies there also, not hierarchies in terms of corporates, But higher education in the sense, you are a junior, now you have to progress, then you have to do this, you have to obey this, do that. Mm-hmm. Basically, they teach you how to control yourself.
Okay.
So, I did that. I learned a hell of a lot. I mean, a lot of things which I have learned in my life is from Ramakrishna Mission, those days. Mm-hmm. But then I thought, this is not for me. I want to fly away, you know, like Richard Bach.
Yeah.
So, I actually, one day I decided, early morning I had to wake up at 4 o'clock. I had to do, you know, the Aarti there. So, everybody would join. And from 12 to 4, I used to sleep. So, every day that was the routine. And suddenly, after doing the Mangal Aarti, I actually left. I left, I had some 21 rupees or something in my pocket because when I left home, my mother had, I didn't realize I had one bag in which I had a dhoti, two dhotis and, you know, two kurtas and everything she had packed. And she had packed some money also, I didn't notice. So, then I gave that to the mission as a, you know, whatever, like I didn't want to keep any money. But however, 21 rupees, they were left inside the bag, which I had not opened. So, I took that. I went to bus stand, Kashmir Gate bus stand, and from there I went to Rishikesh.
Okay.
And I stayed in Rishikesh a couple of days and all that. There's another story how I managed. I stayed in a small, you know, what you call ashram kind of a place where they don't charge you any money. And so from there I started walking.
Okay.
So, this walk from Rishikesh to Badrinath, and from Badrinath, if you know Nilkant, Nilkant is, you know, one of the highest
peaks.
Peaks. So, this was my journey, you know, like 3 years journey, where I stayed wherever I wanted to, and wherever I wanted to means under the sky. Now, what would happen is, when you put one step, God also puts one step forward for you, you know. So, guidance is to come. People from nowhere
so
will
what,
come.
So, what were your learnings in this journey to Nilkant?
My first learning was the first day, first night, after I left Rishikesh, any kind of habitat I left. Then first night I was into the towards Garhwal, I was walking. Then on the way, some sadhus would meet me and said, because I was very young that time and I had shaven my head and all that. So, they would look at me and say, what are you doing here? So, I would say, you know, get lost. Let me be. I don't want to get into another, you know, kind of this thing. So, finally, first day, when it was becoming dark, then I started realizing, what am I going to do now? There are animals all around and things like that. So, suddenly, a sadhu came and he was walking behind me. He walked a little faster and caught up with me and said that, what are you doing here? I said, look, I don't know what I'm doing. I just want to walk till Badrinath. So he said, at night, you should not walk. You should stay. I have got a, you know, small place here. Small, under a tree used to live. But it is down the hill. So I said, okay. So I went with him down. He made me sit. There are like, a lot of stones and there was a big banyan tree and all that, some bale trees and all that, but it was already dark. So, he told me that that day there was a leopard which killed a what you call cow, and from the village which was about 6-7 kilometers away, he had brought it there next to the and he disappeared from there. I was sitting there and he disappeared from there. So, what I could do at Alaknanda was down there and it was roaring and it was like flowing. So, I closed my eyes. I said, this is the best time. Let me do meditation. But when you do meditation, all the other thoughts keep playing, you know. So, the fear came into my mind. What to do if that leopard comes and, you know,
attacks you,
attacks me. While leaving Ramakrishna Mission, I had a small knife, which my mother only had put to cut fruits and things like that. So, I took out that knife from the bag and I opened it because I couldn't see even my own hand. It was so dark because mountain is here, I am here. Then Alaknanda, then this side is also mountain. So you can't see anything. There's no reflection because there's this, you know, jungle. So I was holding that knife, thinking that if the leopard comes and if I get to know, I'll just put this in. I'll kill that leopard. So I was getting that. Suddenly I thought that I closed my eyes and the knife like this. And I said that if the leopard comes from the back and jumps at me, I won't even know, I'll be dead, you know. So what am I actually getting worked up about? So I threw that into the Ganga.
Okay.
And I threw my fear. I, as a child, I was very, very scared person as far as, you know, cockroaches are concerned. I used to be really, I never scared of anything, you know, ghost, yeo, nothing. But the cockroaches used to bother me quite a bit. So that fear, every fear from within, I just, you know, threw it away with that small
thing. What a fantastic thing. What a fantastic. And then, at what stage did you start to think of photography, or when did you pick up your first camera?
Well, actually, in college, they teach you 1 year's course.
Okay.
So, they actually, those days, there is to be everything like analog and double lens.
And those big cameras which you...
So, I learned that in the college. Okay. So, 1 year course I did there.
But after your trip or the sojourn into the, in the Himalayas, you came back down.
Yes.
And that is when you decided to become a photographer.
No, I actually, I was good at drawing. So I came back and my father said, after 4 years, actually, nobody knew where I was. So obviously, they were very worried. My mother was bedridden because of me, basically. Because if they knew where I am, they would be, you know, worried. But they didn't, nobody knew, even Ramakrishna Mission people, they didn't know. They went to the police and somebody has disappeared and all that. So all that happened, but nobody could find me because where I was, nobody could find me there. So after I came back, I learned something that you don't waste a single minute. Do what you want to do. So when I came back, well, the journey back, I decided that from the day one I am going to go back, I am going to search for work.
Okay.
It's not, my father said, don't worry, you know, 4 years, you just relax, you know, there's no hurry, no nothing. You think what you want to do in life, you know, what you're good at, do all that. But no, I, next day, I picked up some papers and I went to Delhi Zoo. I started doing, you know, when you don't draw, your hands don't work that fast. So I was very good at it. So I started developing that. Fourth day or fifth day, I was to stay in Vasant Vihar. So, there was an agency called ASP, which was a very big agency and very well-renowned advertising people used to run it, like Mickey Patel and, you know, other people, Pulak Biswas. So, I went to meet Mickey Patel and Pulak Biswas. And those days, there are no, you know, people, if you want, if you're genuine, people will come and meet you, and it's not like today's time. So I went with those couple of 4 or 5 sketches and I said, I want a job as an illustrator or whatever you think. I can do art direction. This is what my work is. So Pulak Biswas looked at it and said, this is yours? Just hang on. He took those sketches inside and the branch head, he showed it to the branch head and very well-known advertising person, I'm forgetting his name. And he came back, he said that... everybody loved your work, but we are not going to give you a job. You come and see me in my house, I'll do something for you. I said, why am I not getting every, if everybody loves my job, work, why aren't they giving me a job? He said, no, the branch manager feels that you will run away again. You will not be able to take advertising
seriously,
and you will not be able to take the pressure. Advertising works under pressure, you know. So that's why I didn't get that job. But however, Pulak Biswas guided me and all that. And then, you know, I applied to India Today. They offered me a job. Then I went to another agency, Clarion. They offered me a job because I was really, you know, good at sketching and all that. So they were, everybody was looking for a person like that.
Okay.
So that was my beginning.
Very interesting. And then you say that you, advertising of course is one part of your life. But you also decided to go behind the camera.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
So from what, in those days, there are very few photographers. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to name them, but they are very big. I respect them a hell of a lot. Sure. But when I wanted that naturality to come out, suppose I'm shooting P.T. Usha and I would ask them to take a picture like this, what they will do, they would tell P.T. Usha to pose this in the studio and then they'll click. So always in my mind I felt it is actually an industrial shoot and not they are not shooting a human being. Mm. Human being, you should not freeze and shoot. Mm. Until and unless it is bare necessity. Otherwise, never do it.
Correct.
So I picked up my camera. And unfortunately, I had a partner who is no more, Prabuddha Das Gupta. Mm-hmm. So he's a very well-known photographer. Yep. Highly respected and all. So he had a camera. So, at that time, I didn't have a camera. I had a meter, you know, meter reading, those handheld ones, very antique ones. So, I used to organize the whole shoot and do the meter reading. And he, behind the camera, he was experimenting. So, both of us were experimenting.
Amazing.
Then we'd make our own prints and all that.
Amazing.
So, that is how we started photography.
So, you know, given your experience as an artist in art and the fact that today you are such a big photographer, what goes into making a good picture?
See, there is no formula. Mm-hmm. If you follow a formula in making a good picture, perhaps you will not be successful.
Okay.
So, every time you are making a picture, what I mean by making a picture is actually telling a story. So, to give you an example, suppose I am doing a portrait. Now, if I make a formula, this is a portrait light, should be this and that, it will never work. What will work is if I first read your character. What kind of a person? Are you a very inwardly person, or you are extrovert, or you are a, you know, very jovial person? Do you smoke a cigar or whatever? I will try to find out by talking to you, and then I will try to bring out that character. Otherwise, what is the difference between your portrait and his portrait?
Right.
Only you look different. Everybody looks different, but there has to be some difference. So therefore, I have to bring out that life.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And you know, I was reading about you, and you shoot a lot in black and white.
Yeah, that's right.
And also in color.
Yeah.
Which is your preferred medium?
Black and white always, because that, you know, the mystery in black and white. And also what happens is in black and white, the challenge is you have to envisage what will be the final look.
Mm.
In color, I'm seeing the color and I'm capturing that. But in black and white, if I have to shoot here black and white, I have to understand that how can I separate you from the background?
Mm.
So I have to, because everything is gray and black, you know. So it's a more challenge, and also it is a mystery I find in black.
You know, I also, I mean, I'm an amateur photographer, and I always prefer to shoot with my normal DSLR camera in black and white.
Yeah, yeah.
Because somehow there's much more depth I find.
Yeah, yeah. And nowadays, I mean, everything you shoot in color, and then you convert that.
Yeah.
Earlier, black and white means black and white. Yeah. 5-6 years ago, like even now, once in a while, I use films. For there, I have to shoot black and white means black and white film.
Mm.
But today's day and time, you shoot color and then you... But you have to have in your mind that what will be the result, final result in black and white.
Mm.
So you shoot accordingly.
Mm. So, you know, over the last 30-35 years that you've been taking photographs, from the simple box camera that we used to use, we're looking like that, and to today's very high technology. What has technology done to photography as a passion or a hobby?
Actually, technology has helped this photography business hell of a lot.
Mm.
And I'm really glad, because it has made your life easier. Why? Because your life, your picture is under your control.
Mm.
Earlier, you had to process the film, then you had to, you know, scan the film, then you make a print. So it is not your, under your control, and you don't have the time to do everything yourself.
Mm.
So so that process is to be, it is to go through 3-4 different hands, and somebody goofs up on the line will blame you, saying that photograph is not good.
Mm.
But today, with the instruments, with the technology, it is, everything is under my control.
That is true. That is so true.
And also, you know, I would always say that don't misutilize the technology.
Correct.
Like Photoshop, it's for designers, it's not for photographers. Mm. For photographers, it's Lightroom, where you can't cut paste. Mm. You can only manipulate your aperture, your lighting, and you know, your color and things like that.
And now with the advent of phone cameras, I mean, the whole photography process has gone down to the common man as it has never ever happened.
See, there used to be a time when I used to hear, I had to hear English music. There used to be, you know, service, the forces request. Mm. There's no other music.
I know. I used to watch the forces request.
So there's only one thing available. Correct. Today, everywhere there's music.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can enjoy music more. Mm. You, and that's why you find youngsters, they all, you know, get into music so much.
Yeah.
Because it is available. Correct. Right. Similarly, because it is available now in your phone, more and more people will try it. And photography, believe me, it's a kind of a meditation.
Mm.
When you make a picture and not take a picture, when you make a picture, you keep looking at it, you share that picture, how much joy it brings to you.
I agree with you. I agree.
And under people who are corporates,
who
work under a lot of pressure, when they have a creativity in their hand, in their pocket, so they are utilizing it. So that makes them, you know, gives him a lot of solace, basically.
So another question back to your passion of photography. You know, you shoot fashion.
Yeah.
And I was reading about you. You shoot lean, thin and tall models.
Yes.
And you also shoot wildlife.
Yes.
Where the big, bulky elephants.
Yeah.
What is the, help me understand the your passion for such diverse subjects.
So actually, I had this question somebody asked me in Paris. Once I was doing my first show there. So one television journalist, she came and she asked me that, and it was all about elephants. So they were all black and white elephants, and I got very good reviews there. And so this girl asks me that, you know, this is a wonderful exhibition, but I have heard that you do a lot of fashion photography, models and all that. And one is thin and one is bulky. So what is the, you know, correlation? I said, like, look, the elephants I shoot, they are all wild. Okay, but they are very beautiful and soft from inside. Because if you see elephant character, they are very, very soft animal. They look giant, but they are not giant from inside. The other side is the lean and thin models I use. They are all wild from outside, what you call beautiful from outside, but wild from inside. Why wild?
Yeah.
She asked me, I said, look, no offense, man. We are shooting whole day and till about 8 o'clock we are shooting. Then they go and then they party whole night. Next day, again, 5 o'clock in the morning, they are available there.
Mm.
They show no sign of, you know
fatigue
or anything. Yeah. So that wilderness in them is actually what excites me at the same time.
Well said. Very well said. So, you know, one of the things that one hears about wildlife photography is that the man behind the camera, the person behind the camera, needs incredible patience.
Yeah, actually, couple of things in wildlife photography, you know, like first you have to know the habitat,
yeah,
and you have to know the your subject well, yeah, and patience is, because it's not, you can't direct, you can't tell the tiger to come,
yeah,
you have to wait. And tiger is the most elusive, you know, animal. Mm. And it many times it happened, is sitting next to me, an open jeep, and I'm looking here and there, I can't find the tiger. Although I can sense the tiger, mm, but I can't find it. It's so camouflaged, actually. So therefore, you have to have patience. And at that time, you have to forget about everything. It's like meditation. And you're waiting there, you are not moving, you're not talking, there are many flies, you know, it's 46 degree. You're sitting there, but you have to wait.
Yeah.
And that waiting actually finally pays you off.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. And you've been associated with the tiger conservation.
Yes, that's right.
Any thoughts or comments on that?
See, especially not only in our country, all over the world, especially in China, the demand of tiger, this is already a myth,
mm,
that every tiger part enhances your vigor.
Aphrodisiac, yeah.
You know? So there are many other things, mm, also with rhino, horn, and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah.
So this one, though people are exploiting that, the businessmen are exploiting that. Mm. So there's a lot of demand for tiger products. Mm. So, conservation has become more and more difficult because of corruption.
Mm.
The people who are supposed to safeguard them are corrupt themselves. A little bit of money for 10,000, 20,000 rupees, they give away the whereabouts, mm, of the tiger.
Mm.
So, it's a big, huge task. But however, if the government, mm, is very, very adamant to control it, within no time they can control it.
Mm.
Although, I mean, the tiger population is growing. That's simply because a lot of people now, you know, in the government also, and a lot of private people are actually come together, and they are actually trying to conserve, you know, this. So they are demarcating areas for tigers. So it is a much better situation today. However, even then, a lot of poaching is going on.
That's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
So a few more questions for, yes, you. You know, you have run social awareness campaigns in the 80s and 90s on AIDS, homosexuality and adoption.
Yes.
30 years later, are there any changes taking place in our country?
Well, in adoption, there are a lot of changes are happening. Mm. People are more willing, although in India, not so many, but numbers have changed.
Mm.
You know, earlier if I would say 0.01%, today there will be 2% people are willing, mm, to do that, because they know there is already a life waiting there, why bring another life? So they actually, and some people do it because they cannot have their own child. So, but there are a lot of awareness is growing,
mm,
and a lot of people have done good work on this. You know, Mother Teresa to, yeah, you know, Palna to all these people, mm, all these organizations, they have done very good work, mm, to, you know, promote this adoption. So, a lot of changes have happened. AIDS, you know, awareness has grown,
yeah,
up today,
yeah,
you know, and there are a lot of medications available, counseling is available and all that. So, it is, everything is improving, okay, because of the media availability.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And also, I think the younger generation,
yeah,
is much more aware,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
and much more accepting,
yeah,
of a lot of challenges we face.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. Because olden days, like, you know, even if you want to adopt, your parents are not willing, mm, family people are not willing. What would they say?
Yeah.
You know, things like that. Even today, youngsters are adopting, but they don't tell the child that it's the child is adopted.
Absolutely.
You know?
Correct. Absolutely.
Because nobody else should know.
Mm. True. Yeah. Very good. So my last question,
yes,
to you, you know, you had an amazing career. You know, I love the way you gave up everything, went away for 4 years to the Himalayas, learned a lot, multiple facets of you. This is a question I ask all my guests.
Yes.
Tell me your biggest learning from your biggest failure?
See, from the very beginning, I mean, it's my own this thing. Nothing is failure.
Okay.
So, once in Himalayas, like I was crossing, I had to jump from one thing to the other to go to the other, not mountain, but there was a big crack because of earthquake and things like that. So I had no other way. I couldn't go back because I would slip down because I was not geared up with boots and things like that. I was like, I had Bata sandal and I had a stick with me. That's it. So what I did was I closed my eyes and as a person, I can never jump that much. I said, no other way. Whatever will happen, will happen. Let me just try it. And this within a second. It's not that I'm explaining now with a lot of time, but I think back, what pushed me? Something pushed me and I jumped.
Amazing.
So the learning is that, if you want to do something, don't think about anything else. You know, just think about that and you will achieve it. So, and also, like I say that, whatever has happened, suppose, I make a mistake. Okay. Well, I don't see it as a mistake because that is, if I'm acknowledging that this is a mistake I have made, then it's not a mistake. I'm learning from there, So every step, I think, to answer your question, every step, I'm learning.
Fantastic.
I mean, just simple talking to someone like today while coming, like, one scooter wala came in front of me. First, I know abuse. And this is why should I abuse? I'm not him.
Yeah.
So, I learned from there. So, I'll never keep this abuse in my mind, So, I'll be always like, okay, let him be. Maybe he's the way he drives and things like that. I always see it that way that he might be going through some problem. That's why he's not mindful.
I agree. Akash, thank you very much. I mean, to get you from behind the camera to the front of the camera, I think has been fantastic. Your conversation has been incredibly candid and you've spoken about a lot of things. I'm grateful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.